Live from the Buick Studios, this is News Radio 830 WCCO. This is News and Views.
I raise about $30 million. And if you're saying that I can be bought for $5,000, I'm offended.
I'm offended for all the little girls and the parents that didn't have a choice. That's what I'm offended for.
I had a mother last night come up to me. She told me that her little daughter took that vaccine and she suffered from mental retardation thereafter.
I have to say that the disservice done to public health as a result of that debate is enormous.
I wasn't speaking as a doctor. I wasn't speaking as a scientist.
The state unemployment rate remained unchanged at 7.2% last month, and now the U.S. Census reports poverty has sharply gone up in Minnesota.
It's with a heavy heart that we pass along the news of the death of our former co-worker and friend, Eleanor Mondale.
News and Views on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Good afternoon. It is 12:07 on News Radio 830 WCCO. I am Susie Jones, the host of News and Views in this inaugural show. And joining me is Bruce Hagovic from the WCCO Radio Newsroom, my friend and colleague. As we kick off this show, Bruce, as we just heard you say, it is with a heavy heart that as we go into this new show, talking about News and Views, the biggest news story, of course, is the passing of Eleanor Mondale.
Well, we knew that she'd been ill for quite some time, but when the word actually came down yesterday morning, when I talked to you on the phone and you confirmed it for me, because I wanted to be, you know, I wanted everything to be correct, and it was very difficult for me to make that announcement on the newscast. In fact, I'll confess to you, I was a little bit worried about myself making that announcement. It was so sad, and she was such a beautiful person, and as you've been saying, she was our colleague and a friend. And I was always so proud to say that I worked with Eleanor Mondale. People would ask me, you know, people that I know or people on the street, do you work with Eleanor Mondale? Well, kind of indirectly. I do newscasts during your show, when you and Eleanor were doing the show. So I'd say, yeah, I worked with Eleanor Mondale. And that was always a source of pride for me.
Yesterday had the opportunity to share stories about Eleanor with a couple of different media outlets in town here, and they asked a lot of different questions about what was it like to work with her, and was I ever intimidated by the name? And I said, you know, she put you so at ease. I don't think you ever felt like, oh, you have to be all nervous around this very famous, you know, political person / actress / TV personality. She really did put you at ease.
She was so casual all the time, and as many people know, she was quite a horsewoman. So she loved that pastoral rural life that she adopted in the recent years out in rural Prior Lake. And after, you know, the glitz of Hollywood and the pressure of New York and big-time television and all that type of thing, she really seemed to adapt to that life of living on a small farm and having horses and dogs and chickens and whatever else she had out there.
That she named her chickens, by the way.
Yeah.
But I had the opportunity as well to put together a piece that we played yesterday, and maybe we'll start with today, a remembrance of Eleanor Jane Mondale. Bruce?
On the Mondale and Jones Show, an author of a new book called Saging While Aging. Hello, Shirley MacLaine.
Which one is this?
This is Eleanor.
Eleanor Jane Mondale dazzled us. Her career in broadcasting started in L.A., where she landed a job on E!
Smart and stylish Eleanor is on the runway with the dressed up, or perhaps I should say, undressed report.
Her career also took her to the CBS Morning Show, ESPN, and the Speed Channel. Then right here to WCCO Radio, where she co-hosted her own show from 2006 to 2009.
Eleanor Mondale and Susie Jones.
Eleanor was born January 19th, 1960 in Minneapolis, and was the only daughter of former Vice President Walter Mondale and Joan Mondale. During an interview once, she recalled being thrust into politics at a young age.
Well, my 17th birthday was the night before the inauguration. So that was a pretty big night. And we moved in the next day.
Her older brother is former Minnesota State Senator Ted Mondale. Her younger brother, attorney William Mondale. Eleanor was married to musician Chan Poling. Noting the couple's visible, deep, and profound love, friends pronounced them president of each other's fan club. They lived on a small farm where she was surrounded by her miniature horses, dogs, birds, chickens. Eleanor loved animals and her famous dad, who was a frequent guest on the show.
So we managed to scrounge up former Vice President Walter Mondale, who's joining us from his getaway place where we celebrated Christmas. Their family celebrated Christmas. Mr. Mondale, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ms. Mondale.
Now,
you guys are so cute. At the height of her career in New York and Los Angeles, she socialized with many big movie stars. Some of them later joined us on the show, including George Clooney.
Right now, we have the privilege and the thrill and the joy of speaking with none other than George Clooney.
Is it privilege or joy?
It's all of them.
Okay, sure.
I can't even think of the words, and that's not just because I had my head cut open.
And Billy Bob Thornton.
I have to say, I had a crush on you.
Oh, and, you and did not.
Oh, I did. I swear I did.
And is that only, why you were sitting next to me making me laugh?
Probably.
My gosh. I'll never forget that.
But all of my friends had a crush on you.
I mean, really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. You were like our TV girl. We all loved you. And it's really cool that you're doing this kind of show now.
I moved home and I live on a farm and now I work in radio.
She was rather smitten with Smokey Robinson.
Hi, you guys. How are you doing, Eleanor, Susie?
She pulled me off the floor. I'm okay now.
All right, I love you.
Okay. Now, Smokey, I like to call you Smokey because we're so close.
Well, you call me Smokey anyway. Yeah. I love that. I love the way you say it.
Okay, now I'm going to pass up. I want to get back to Black History Month.
Eleanor also had the rare opportunity to interview the Dalai Lama.
Thank you so much, Your Holiness, for taking time to talk with me. It's really an honor, and it's great to see you again. My first question is, how do you see the world today, and how can we learn from that vision?
A world today, I think basically the same. That's my view.
In 2005, after a bout of seizures, Eleanor was diagnosed with brain cancer and was characteristically courageous and candid.
Yeah, it's been 3 weeks today that you were under the knife.
Yes, it was this morning they wheeled me on that gurney. And then I don't know what they did, but I know I woke up with a big wound in my head. But I understand they got all the cancer, and that's the best part.
She had several surgeries and rounds of chemotherapy, and in the end, the tumor just wouldn't go away. But even when she didn't feel well, Eleanor maintained an incredible sense of humor to go along with that beautiful smile. She died peacefully at the farm, surrounded by people she loved. Susie Jones, WCCO. And Eleanor Jane Mondale was 51 years old. And we want to make sure that people listening today, a lot of people ask about her, Bruce, at the fair. How's Eleanor? And if you have a story to share or want to jump in, we are dedicating this hour to talk about Eleanor and her life and what she meant to us and what she meant to you.
I must compliment you, too, on that piece. A very well-done piece.
Thank you.
I know you put together, you put a lot of work into that, and it was very nicely done. Isn't it amazing how many people Eleanor knew, though, at the Hollywood high level?
Endless.
I mean, George Clooney and Smokey Robinson.
That's the tip of the iceberg, Bruce.
I remember one time she told me about going to Liz Taylor's house for Thanksgiving.
Yes, right.
Can you imagine?
We have Boyce Olson on our newsline. Boyce is also going to be a regular part of our new show. We want to bring him on as well. Boyce, a sad day, huh?
Yes, a very sad day. I must say that I, appropriately enough, learned about it yesterday on WCCO. I had just checked in on the radio and heard your report, that one we just heard, and to echo Bruce's thoughts, I know assignments like that aren't tough, but they mean more than others. So condolences to everyone who knew Eleanor. You know, my connection to the Mondale family started at a very young age, which doesn't get talked about very much, except for when I'm reminded that I might be a little younger, is that I was a gopher in the media room during the 1984 presidential election day. And I'll never forget that my first appearance with you guys was at the state fair. And so I came out, and Eleanor, kind of in her sharp wit, said, "Oh, this should be good. They're sending some kid out to talk about politics." And her brother reminded her that we had a connection that went back to a number of years, probably at that point 22 years. And she sat down and she said, "Now, seriously, you're the same kid who now 22 years later does this?" And so we hit it off right away, and kind of that down to earth, rib each other a little, have a little fun with each other. And then, you know, she always said that she appreciated having me on the show because it meant that sometimes I could say things that she really wanted to, or that I could say something and she could guffaw appropriately. Mm. But, you know, obviously, as you think about the path she took, she really decided to come home. And I think that's true with a lot of Minnesotans. But she was one of those people who really kind of shot out there to do whatever she wanted to do. If you think about the evolution of coverage of red carpets and things like that, Eleanor was there at the beginning and really kind of started to define that space. And then, you know, to come home, do a radio show, and live in rural Minnesota says that, you know, Minnesotans, if nothing else, we always seem to find our way home to find balance in our lives.
That's awesome, Blois. What a nice thing to say. I think that's really appropriate. I know her dad, I believe, had like some sort of a medical situation, and maybe it was 04. I can't remember the specifics, but that really was what prompted her to leave New York to come home, and then her life with Chan and the farm all just happened for her. But her dad is pretty darn important to her, as you heard. We love to have him on.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, to this day, he... As a former vice president, of course, he could retire to, you know, a nice rural place or kind of stay out of the limelight. And he's still very engaged, as you know, and still walks to work or walks downtown and walks most every day and keeps himself sharp. And I think that was one of the things that drove Eleanor back, is that she saw how active they were and how connected they were, and she wanted to kind of feel that connection with them.
Blois Olson joining us on News Radio 830 WCCO. Bruce Hagovic, Susie Jones. It is News and Views, and we are talking about the passing of Eleanor Jane Mondale. She was 51 years old, and she battled brain cancer for just about 6 years. It was off and on. And she did it, as many of the reports today say, with courage and bravery and humor. As you just heard in the piece, she talked a lot about cutting her head open and she was extremely blunt.
She was so strong. I mean, the humor that you mentioned there really strikes me. That's one of the things I always remember about her, is that even when she was going through the ups and downs of the treatment, she always maintained that sense of humor.
There was a bit with her last night on, I think it was Channel 11 or 4. I don't know if you guys saw it on television last night at 10, but she was making fun of her comb over because her hair never grew back properly at that spot where the surgery was done.
Okay.
And so she had to have a comb over, you know, like bald guys who try to pretend like they're not bald.
Right.
She said, "I used to be in judgment about that, but now I embrace comb over." She said something like, "A windy day is my worst enemy," you know, and, so anyway, she really made light of it in a lot of ways, too.
Well, and Susie, obviously, you knew her very privately, too, and became good friends. But the one thing I think it was that at such a young age when she learned about the brain cancer, that she immediately just stepped up with such strength. And I think that served as an inspiration probably to many people who get diagnosed with cancer at a young age, that she realized very quickly that she had a bigger role, that if she could face this with strength, maybe it would help some other people have some strength. And she never talked about it that way, but I certainly know that, you know, of our contemporaries who have all, you know, been challenged by cancer or health, that they see it as, you know, look, I got to be strong, because there's people who don't have to appear in public and don't have to deal with, you know, the questions that I do, that are really scared, and if I can open up to them and answer their questions, that's important.
You know, what was interesting, now that you talk about that, it just jogs a memory. We had Elizabeth Edwards in studio several years ago. She had written, I think it was called Grace, and she and Eleanor really shared an incredible bond and moment on the air, talking about how strangers love you just because you're going through a tough time. Like, I think she was in the grocery store coming up from one of her MRIs at Mayo, and some stranger in the line at the grocery store at Cannon Falls just reached out to say, you know, I love you and I'm thinking of you and I hope. And to have that kind of unconditional love from humanity really was special, don't you guys think?
Absolutely. And beyond that, too, her husband, Chan, I know, really stood by her through all of this. And no doubt, I can't imagine how difficult it was for him.
No. Very difficult for him and for Walter and Joan to lose their daughter. I think they always say that's the worst thing ever. So we need to take a break, but we do want to invite you to join our conversation. It is 651-989-9226. That's the number to call in if you have a story to share. I know many of her past co-workers, our old boss Wendy and Jill Oliveira, our producer, and Dave Anton is going to be calling in. Rocco Bonello, and she had the opportunity to interview the Dalai Lama together, and he also went to the Grammys with her, so he's got a few stories. So we'll take a break and invite your phone calls at 651-989-9226, and Blois can stick around a little bit, and we'll just we'll remember Eleanor together. She was a shining star and the certainly the light of my life. So back after this on News Radio 830 WCCO.
You're listening to News and Views on News Radio 830 WCCO.
1226 on a Sunday afternoon. Susie Jones here with you. It is News and Views on News Radio 830 WCCO. And today's top news story that we are talking about with you, our past friends, our past workers, is the passing of Eleanor Jane Mondale. 51 years old, she died after a long and courageous battle with brain cancer. We've invited your phone calls at 651-989-9226. Bruce Hagovic is here. Also on our news line, our former program director and former general manager, the two women who were instrumental in bringing Eleanor to WCCO Radio. Mary Niemeyer, good afternoon.
Well, hi, Susie. How are you?
I'm good. And Wendy Paulson, good afternoon to you as well.
Hi, Susie.
So tell either one of you, and Bruce is here as well, you share with us that day that you met with her to consider this job.
It was interesting, how Blois Olson was talking about Eleanor coming home. And Eleanor had come to CCO to interview for the job. And Mary Niemeyer and I were in Mary's office with Eleanor. Mary, I know you remember this.
Oh, won't forget it.
Oh, no. And talking about Eleanor joining WCCO and reminding her that Mondale name is like Minnesota royalty. She would be perfect to be on WCCO. And as she was talking with Mary and I, she had these tears just streaming down her face. And she wasn't... It was just like she was looking at us, talking to us, but these tears were streaming down her face. And so Mary and I, we stopped, and I had said to her, Eleanor, why are you crying? And she said, I just want this job so badly. I just want to join WCCO so badly. And I know that really touched us.
It did, and you know, there was so many things about that interview. In fact, Wendy and I kind of reminisced yesterday afternoon about it that we'll never forget. And I think Eleanor's profound sense of humor and ability to pull out detail that most of us would never catch. And when she walked into the room, she had put a suit on and she just came off the farm. And she had little elastic lines from her work socks. And most people would never point it out, but of course Eleanor, and Susie, this, you'll know this is Eleanor, she pointed to those lines and she said, ladies, I just want you to know that when you get over the age of 40, it takes four times as long as when you're young for your sock lines to go away. And we spent 10 minutes talking about, is anybody researching how long it takes sock lines to go away.
I still worry about it, Mary, when I'm going out at night, if my sock lines are going to show later.
I'm thinking that's going to be a whole hour of the Mondale Jones show talking about sock lines. This is great radio. And I was so impressed because she really had a love for her family. And in addition to her passion for WCCO, and she pointed out that you know, her getting this job was not only important to her, but she knew that her mom and dad would be really proud of her. And in fact, her dad so wanted her on CCO, he actually drove her to the interview so that she would be there on time. And, you know, we've got interns who drive themselves to the interview, and I was so impressed by that, you know, that her dad was in this with her. And, you know, here we had a world-class broadcaster with world-class experiences and a Rolodex, you know, bigger than any journalist. And yet she wanted to come work and be your sidekick, Susie. And we knew the minute she left that room, not only did we have a great co-host for you, but our CCO listeners were going to watch a beautiful friendship unfold between two very funny and very smart ladies. And, you know, we'll never regret that. It really turned into a beautiful friendship. And I know Wendy and I are proud of that. So
thanks,
Mary.
Very
well said. Very well said. We were very fortunate to have her with us as long as we did, and I know all of the support that the WCCO listeners continue to extend to her and now to her family would really humble her, and she would be so appreciative of all of that.
Well,
yeah, my heart goes out to Chen and our prayers and thoughts with the Mondale family, and I know they're very proud of her. We're very proud of her, and we'll miss her a lot.
Well, thank you both for chiming in today and sharing your story of the love and the brightness that she left here on the planet will be forever remembered. So thanks, Mary Niemeyer and Wendy Paulson, with us on News Radio 830 WCCO. It's 12:31. We'll take a quick break. But again, we invite your phone calls here on this day of remembrance. Bruce, thank you for being with us this morning and sharing some stories, and we'll move through it, but we're better people for knowing her.
And some friends, family members, listeners may be wondering about a memorial service, but we haven't heard anything about that yet. That hasn't been announced as of yet, right?
Right. I think they're still working on the details, but
as soon as we have that, we'll let our listeners know.
Absolutely. Bruce Hagovic with us on News Radio 830 WCCO. It's 12:32.